السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم brother Mr. M. I call him Mr. M. A man, a young man I met few years back, and I believe he has something and he has a potential. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open for him and accept him and choose him and elevate him and make this journey the most beloved to him. But today we have the honor to interview this young man, the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I believe, choose him from hundreds and thousands of people to make the journey of Iman beloved to him. And I believe, inshallah, he will be invited to Allah very soon. Let's see who he is and his background. How old are you?
30 years old.
30 years old. And give us a little bit about your background.
I was born and raised in America to a humble family that immigrated to America looking for a better life, more opportunity, a financial gain. I was brought up, I'd say, middle class. The focus of my childhood was really, you know, about making money, starting a business, you know, the American dream. That was the focus of my parents. That was the focus of the household. The kids went to school. The mom stayed home and took care of the house. Dad was working all the hours. Thank God, my childhood was a happy one. And I've basically lived my whole life in America.
Tell us between past, present, and future, from dunya, material life, and journey of Iman.
Well, to start off with the past, I'd have to say I was just like any young American man, high school, college, job, all the social networks, friends. I didn't grow up around any Muslims. In fact, my high school of 2,000 kids, I believe there were three or four. And the only one that announced it proudly, that did not hide the fact that they were Muslim, was myself. So I blended in with my classmates, with my friends. We used to go out. We used to enjoy life. The college experience. There wasn't really a focus or an importance on religion at that point in the past. I feel that something changed. Something happened. At age 23, I had I wouldn't say it's a life-changing experience, but I'd say it's like a light bulb went off. I was alone in my house. Came home from a long night, put my head on the pillow, and started thinking, saying, is this why I was created? Is this why I was put on this earth? To sin? Is this the way my parents brought me up? Is this the way my parents taught me to be? is this the way Allah wants me to be? And I remember crying. This is 4 in the morning. I remember crying, saying, why am I crying? I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning, took a shower, and went to pray. At that point in my life, prayer was Fridays. That's about it. And some Fridays were missed. But I woke up and I prayed. I prayed morning prayer at that time. Now, I had friends that were Muslims. That day after I prayed, I woke up, I said, I want to change. And I called them and I said, listen, I want to change. I really want to change. And they were good, pious, God-fearing brothers. They gave me some CDs to listen to, some books, things like that. But I was so deep in the life I was living where I needed something. If it was going to be real, I need something more. More. What I decided to do is I decided to leave the country. I called my parents. I said, you know what? I want to change. I want to come visit you. I need a change in my life. No one knowing what was going on inside of me. I decided in order to truly change my lifestyle, I'd have to do something dramatic. And that what came in my heart was to get married. And Allah made it very easy for me. When I went to visit my family, the first girl I saw, after praying istikhara, Allah put it in my heart. Came back, changed my lifestyle, established prayer, and really became a Muslim. Became a Muslim. Found the true path. Found the meaning of life. Now things are making sense. Now I get it. So I get married. Still a year in, I'm saying 24, 25. What's going on? There's still a void. There's something unsettling in my heart. Once again, I pray to Allah. I say, show me the way. What came in my heart was, go make a pilgrimage. You want to be a Muslim? You want all your sins erased? I read somewhere where it said an accepted pilgrimage, you come back like a newborn baby, free of sin. I said, you know what? That's something I could use. So I signed up, went with a couple of guys, went to a pilgrimage. On the pilgrimage, that's where something really happened. I was young. You know, you follow the group. They do this, you do that. You don't really understand the meaning. Why am I doing this? You want to do. But one night, we were in the tents in Mina, in the pilgrimage. And I wake up in the tents. By the way, you sleep on the floor. There's 40 men on the floor next to you. Which is pretty odd, coming from, you know, a king-size bed. But we'll move along. I heard a voice. This guy talking and talking and talking and talking. I'm like, it's the middle of the night. What's this guy talking about? I wake up. I look. I start listening. Voice starts bringing me in. I'm like, hey, this stuff's actually interesting. I walk over. I sit down in the little group. I say, you know what? Let's give it a chance. And I hear this man speaking. And speaking. And speaking. I said to myself, you know something? This guy is saying it like it is. He's putting it all out there. And you know, the people you're speaking to, they just, they're like, yeah, rolling their eyes, whatever. No. I said, you know something? This guy is exactly right. I guess, you know, the truth hurt. Some people couldn't handle it, but I was like, you know something? This guy is onto something. So I continued listening, and the following day we would listen, and I said to him, hey, listen, you know, when I get back, here's my number, you know, maybe we should get together. Just seemed like a man you'd want to know, a man you'd want to, you know, get close to. Because it's always, you could always use a person that brings you closer to your Lord. Those are the people that, you know, you want to surround yourself with. I mean, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he had his companions. And the companions had their companions. So, I mean, in order to be a Muslim, yeah, you pray, you go on a pilgrimage. But you gotta, you know, you gotta learn from someone. You read the books, you read the Quran, you read the Sunnah. But when someone's telling you, you know, speaking in front of you, one-on-one or face-to-face, it just, sometimes it hits home. So I said to him, I said, here's my number. He said, I don't want your number. And I said, excuse me? He said, here's my number. And if you're honest, you'll call me. So I said, all right, this guy's... So we get to, I think it was Medina. So every night in the pilgrimage, after dinner or after breakfast, there's something called like a halaqa, you know, like a sheikh will get up and give like a 30-minute, you know, about what's going on, what we're doing. So I've been to so many in this three-week trip. I said, you know what? I'm spent. So I didn't go. Get back to the room. My roommates are all crying. I'm like, what's going on, guys? Why are you crying? They're like, you would not believe. And I said, what? They're like, the whole room is crying. I said, I skipped one halakha and you're all crying? And he said, this sheikh was unbelievable. And I said, are you serious? And they said, listen, he didn't finish. There's a second part tomorrow. I said, you know what? I'm going to that second part. When I went to the second part, let's guess who it was. That man in the tent that refused to take my phone number. I said, you know something? This can't be a coincidence. This must be fate. This must be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's up to something. So we get back from the pilgrimage. I call the sheikh. I tell him, hey, let's go out to lunch. Let's go to dinner. Just as a way to, you know, I was always taught, you know, extend your hand, you know, take someone out, you know, culture. He said, I'm not interested in dinner. Why are you calling me? I said, why am I calling you? I'm calling you to invite you to dinner. He said, I don't need dinner. Is that the only reason you're calling me? I said, no, I'm calling you because, you know, I like what you said. He said, okay, let's focus on that, not on dinner, which I thought was pretty funny. So we established a relationship, and I can honestly say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to meet or brought us together for a purpose. And it's been about 3-4 years now. And the bond's been getting stronger. And he's been very patient with me because things don't happen the way we want them to happen. You can't snap your fingers and it could be. Only Allah could do that. In the Quran, I believe there's an ayah that says, be so it will be. So there's been ups and downs, highs and lows, but alhamdulillah, we're on a journey. And for the future, I hope to be a good Muslim, one that dedicates his life to Islam and to one day be an inviter to Allah, to have the quality and the level of Iman to live the message.
What is the message you want to give it to young people?
My message to young people there's hope. No matter how bad you are, no matter how many sins you've committed, no matter how enveloped in dunya you are, it's never to the point of no return. Repentance is, such a big part of our religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. He's full of mercy. You repent, you get forgiven. How much more can you want? How great is that of a religion? So I would tell young people that the earlier you get on this path, the wiser and the better off you'll be in your life. Your life will have meaning. Because young people, they think the meaning is good grades, good jobs, have fun. Yeah, those are things that were raised, drilled in our heads, but without Allah, are you really living? There is a Lord. There's a day that we're all gonna die. You'll be judged. So basically, there's hope. There's hope. You have a chance. Everyone has a chance. Everyone has hope. That's my main message to young people would be, jump on board as early as possible, and the better off you'll be. And it's never too far. It's right around the corner.
Is any major difference between your life in the past without no Islam and your life now with Islam? What is the major difference?
I have to say there's a lot of differences, but the major difference would be first thing that jumps out at me would be the fact that before I always thought I can do, he could do for me, that, the income will be the success. If I do this, I could do that. And now it's you do for Allah, he'll do for you. That's what you taught me. That you work for Allah, don't worry about anything else. You sit there thinking, but oh my God, this, that, all these things, there's no worry anymore. There's tawakkul now. There's rely on him, work for him, ask him, go back to him. And he's the owner of all answers. There's no more doubt, there's no more thinking too much, there's no more arrogance, there's no more thinking I can do. If I get good grades, I'll get into a good college. If I get into a good college, I'll get a good job. If I get a good job, I'll make good money. Allahu ar-Razzaq. If he's the owner of risk, and it was written for you when you were in your mom's belly, what are you worried about? I'm not saying sit on the side of the road and be a bum, Do. But have faith in him. And that's the major difference. My faith, my level of faith.
Meaning it gives you happiness, tranquility.
Extreme happiness.
Okay.
It's like someone It's like night and day. It's like someone being lost and being found. It's like someone living without a purpose and someone knowing why he's living. It's almost like the two spectrums of the earth. The two opposites, you know?
Meaning you are happy now.
I'm sure you can hear it in my voice. Yeah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. The closer I am to Allah, the happier I am.
What about worry?
You don't worry. When you have faith and iman, you don't worry. Why? Allah is the owner of everything. Actually, the ayah which you always tell me is Allah is in control of all your affairs. You just don't know. So, if He's in control and He's the owner of everything and everything that happens to you is written by Him, how can you worry? How can you doubt? How can you say why? There is no worry. You say alhamdulillah, it's for a reason. It's a trial. Allah trials whom He loves. You move on. You work harder for Him. You do more for Him. And the results will be there. That's what I believe.
Meaning to conclude, you reach happiness, content, tranquility. It changed your life from worry freak to peace, insurance, security, light and wisdom. Now, for whom who listen, you can choose between hasty life, darkness, uncertainty, insecurity, to peace, tranquility, happiness, and insurance. May Allah reward you, put barakah in you, and accept you, and make you the wise of your family, and the wise for the ummah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose you, guard you, and decorate you with the manner and faith He loves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our word to be inspiration for others who hear us.
Ameen.
Ameen. Wassalamu alaikum.